listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Wayne Fritz, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to another exciting episode of the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron, along with Wayne Fritz.
Hey, Bruce. We've got a really special guest today.
Absolutely.
This young lady is still a shooting star in the industry. Her name is Dana Thornburg. She's got two wonderful boys and a wonderful husband. She works with the company of Salad Master, and she's in the marketing department. So when you and I spoke the other week on the influencers, and thought, oh my gosh, I need to talk with Dana. She's the pro at this. So I'm going to actually, Dana, turn it over to you. And what I'd ask of you is if you could start with just your journey, because you didn't start in marketing. I don't think you started interesting, but you were with people.
Yes.
So just turn it over to you.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Wayne and Bruce, for having me on today. Wayne, you are right. I actually, I went to college for teaching. I actually wanted to become a teacher when I grew up, as they said. And kind of into my senior year in college, I was a teacher assistant at an elementary school. And I quickly realized that teaching kids is probably not in my future. So I decided, what is the next best thing? From there, I took just kind of any job. You know, I was actually a front desk clerk, I guess I should say, for a private owned bank. So I was, you know, doing coffee, greeting people. And at that time, I was had moved into kind of the assistant for the events coordinator there. So I got to do I got to plan and work with a lot of events. And I realized working with people is where I wanted to be. It may not be teaching kids, but working with people and, you know, learning the ropes of events. And the bank at the time was, I didn't really want to be in the bank, but I liked the events part. So I was there for a few years. The corporate office at Mary Kay was hiring in their U.S. marketing department. And I just wanted to get my foot in the door. Didn't really know a whole lot about marketing at that time because, as you know, I was trying to become a teacher. But started there back in 2005, I believe. Yes. And really went on in my career at Mary Kay, went on from U.S. marketing to global brand marketing, where I got to learn what the end consumer wanted globally and really trying to figure out what each country's nuances are was very interesting, and learning that and trying to find models that would work for every country. You know, that was a little interesting too. Ended my career at Mary Kay in the digital marketing side. And I really came to a point in my career where I wasn't liking where the culture was going with that company. So I decided to take a step back and I stayed at home. Year with two boys at the time. So they were at a very fun age. I got to stay at home for a year and just cuddle and love on them and figure out what do I want to do. And at that point, I couldn't just stay still. I couldn't just be a stay-at-home mom. So I actually took a nutritional coach, I guess, class at the Institute for Innovative Learning. And so it was just a great way to become a health coach. And then at that time, Salad Master had approached me, a recruiter for Salad Master had approached me to become the director for U.S. marketing here. And after about a year, I moved into a global role. And here I am today running the global marketing department at Salad Master. Wow. So I've been with Salad Master for almost 5 years now.
Well, you sure have developed a lot. I want to give you all the accolades in the world. I mean, I've seen you grow, and I was so proud of you on the stage in Hawaii, introducing people, having fun on that stage in front of all those master dealers. You are a real part of the family. And as far as the marketing goes, you've made drastic changes in what we didn't have to even where we are today and your plans for where we're going. And I want you to be sure and touch on how the influencing thing works and what you've done with your team as far as coaching and what you've done for Salad Master with even, you know, we're in a sales business, so we get leads. Everybody wants leads. Where do I get my leads? Where do I get my referrals? And what you've done with the online stuff with that, with Diana and your team.
Yep.
In addition, try to dovetail how you guys have pivoted with COVID as part of what Wayne has said. Go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think there's quite a few answers in there. So starting with kind of the first one in coming into the organization. So as you know, Mary Kay is a multi-billion, not even million, but billion-dollar company. And so when you go from a company that has roughly 5,000 employees to a company that has 30 employees, it looked a little different, right? You had to really shift your mindset. You had to come in with an open mind and know right then and there that everything that worked for a billion-dollar company may not work for, a million-dollar company, right? So marketing, I came in and it wasn't non-existent because we did have marketing here at Soundmaster, but it wasn't very branded. It didn't have very much online presence at that time. Salad Master was just, you know, a name that's been around. You know, we just celebrated 75 years last year, but it wasn't a well-known household name, and we're still growing in that manner. So we are trying to get there, but we really had to look at what is going to move the needle with Salad Master. What is the one thing that we can do from a very resourceful, small team? What can we do? And so, as Wayne mentioned, we looked at online marketing and what are some of those benefits that we can gain from it? And what is the first thing that we can do? So we really looked at the website. We were kind of not stuck with our vendor, but yes, I will say stuck with our vendor at the time. So we could only do so much with our website as possible, as literally like tangible possible, because we were just stuck in this website and platform that we couldn't do much. So we kind of revamped it and we looked at how can we drive leads. Well, at that time, Salad Master was not driving leads. They had ran the year before, they'd spent about $100,000 trying to do Google campaigns and Google ads, and it did not work. It did not get the return on investment that we wanted. Mm-hmm. So coming in brand new on the marketing side and a company that had just spent that much in marketing campaigns and ads and not seeing a return investment, it's very hard and challenging to go to an executive team and ask them for money when they just not seen anything. So we had to actually put the tools in place. And so we actually put a lead generation tool to where if you're the end consumer, you can go to our website and you can find your closest and local dealer that's closest to you. Now with Salad Master, you still have to see a cooking show, right, to be able to purchase our product and better understand how our nutritional cooking system works. But that was the first thing we had to do, was find a way that a customer could instantly connect with a dealer and have it there. So we had that integrated into our whole entire back office system that a dealer automatically got the lead right then and there. From them, once we had that, we really looked at what is the next best step. We knew we couldn't get, again, Facebook advertising. And we have drawn in almost, I think we've drawn close to 2.5 million, I want to say, in revenue. And we've only spent maybe $30,000 in 2.5 years on advertising. So our ROI, yes, Bruce.
What was your strategy? How did you pick zip codes and zones on your Facebook, if you don't mind sharing that? But
yeah, absolutely. So we did do a lot of targeting advertising. Our first kind of initial impression into Facebook, we kind of just got out there and we didn't have certain targeted areas. We just wanted to get our brand out there. But we realized very quickly that that wasn't the correct way to do it, right? You need to go in, you need to find those targeted areas. So we took some of the research that our company had done in years past and that we're continuing to do. And we're saying, where do we have some of our dealers who are business? Where does Salad Master? We're targeting those areas. We're also targeting languages or their interests, right? So you can go onto Facebook right now and see, Bruce, if you were coming from a, a magazine that talks about healthy living or healthy eating or whatever, we right. can kind of track your progress and your digital imprint and see how we're going to target you differently so that we're targeting the right kind of people that our dealers want to sell to. So we can tell if you're interested in wanting to learn more about how to healthy eat, or, you know, you want to help kind of reverse diabetes or whatever it is. So we can kind of target some of that behavior. And that's how we look at it now. And we're able to generate so much off of it.
I was going to say, it's worldwide. Did you target any non-US markets?
Great question. So in the beginning, we were just targeting US. We have expanded in the past year to really target, we're targeting now in the Philippines. We're doing some great campaigns right now and targeted advertising in Australia. We're even bringing in different languages. So we realize it's not just about the behaviors. If you're bringing in their native language, it's working just as well.
Right.
And then we're targeting in Indonesia, Canada, and Korea. So we do have a lot that we're trying to work in. Oh, in the UK. So we do have some that we're working in. Yes. Yeah. So that's kind of where we started out for there. Well, getting into the influencer marketing, Salamaster is unique in that you can only, like I mentioned, you can only buy from a dealer. We don't yet sell online, unfortunately. And so really trying to figure out, how do you get your brand awareness? How do you get your name more out there? What is one thing that you can do? So we looked at influencers. Now, our marketing budget is not... it's not the Mary Kay Extreme. It's not the Amway Extreme. It's not Coca-Cola, anything like that. You know, we're a very small company that we have to get very creative in how we use our budget. So we looked at influencers, and we still are conducting our strategy. But I will tell you that influencer marketing is definitely the wave of the future. I mean, I just saw, actually, I had pulled up a stat for that the market size in influencer marketing has doubled just since 2019. I mean, last year it was $13.8 billion US dollars that were spent on influencer marketing.
But the influencer gets them to a show.
Yes. So an influencer is somebody, let's say if you're on social media, is the main channel that influencers are using. Right. And they can use, so if they have this red pen, right? And I don't know what product this is, but they say this is a certain brand. Right. They can demonstrate it. They can wear it. They can show it. They can do how-tos. They can post on TikTok, whatever it is. But those influencers really have that following that connects them to the brand. But this is where there's kind of a misconception, because influencers, people think of celebrities, right? You think of a person that has millions of followers, and you just want them to use your product to get your brand name out there. Well, there's been multiple studies on that show it's not about the big celebrities. Some of them it is, yes, but some of them is about the micro influencers. So the influencers who may not have millions, they may have several thousands, but their followers are actually taking action. Right. So the brands can connect back, right? Those links to show that, you know, this influencer did produce X amount of dollars for the company. And so, you know, they're kind of an active influencer right. versus somebody just getting your brand name out there.
So hypothetical question. And that is really interesting, because you think, man, that y'all could have a Shopify account. Y'all could do a thing right now. Here's my example. And this is kind of funny. I've known Wayne for, 6 years?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Feels like a lifetime. Just kidding. So I know that's a good thing. I've known Wayne for all these years. He, you know, and I've never been to a show. This is hypothetical now. Don't get excited. Okay. He keeps on. Anyway, so I know Wayne. I've known him, and I feel like I could almost do a show, but I don't own this stuff. I know a whole lot about it.
Can you believe that,
Damon? I believe
I was about to say, shame on you.
I want to go online right now. Finally, I'm at the moment of truth. God has anointed me with the spirit. Anyway, I want to buy a set, but I still have to go through a show, or can I just go and hit buy now somewhere?
Wayne, did you want to answer that, Wayne? I see your hand flying.
Yeah, I can take care of that, Bruce.
I know you can take care of that. Wait a minute. I think I see a black car right now, a black parking lot.
Yeah.
But no, but let's say I didn't know Wayne. I was ready. But would I still have to go to a dealer?
No, you would still have to go through a dealer, yes.
Yeah.
It's just like that Dana was saying in the beginning on the website, what they did is they put together where you can type in Bruce Cameron and where you live, and they'll find a dealer close to you that you'll get in touch with.
Yeah. Now, Bruce, Soundmaster is not the norm, right? I mean, right. Most companies you expect to buy online. It is now an expectation of the end consumer. So we are not the normal company in that we don't have our product online. But what we do provide is, you know, that personalized service. So you're getting that person who is the expert, right? And who's going to provide you not only the benefits of the product and how to use it, but they're going to follow up with cooking classes that you can go. They're going to follow up with recipes. So we're going to figure out how do you bring that personalized service online, and what does online purchasing even look like for a company who has kind of a high ticketed product? So we do model and we look at some of, you know, like Rolls Royce or some of those, you know, Louis Vuitton, some of those where you can't just necessarily go online and find everything that you like, because you want to touch it. You want to feel it. You want to know how it works. So how do you bring some of that to life through online is actually what we're going through right now in a great activity.
Like a Peloton bike. I can be sitting there with my cookware and look at a lesson. All right, put that olive oil in there. All right. You know what I mean? Or whatever. I would just think that if there was that online thing that you guys would explode, you know.
This yes.
But that's just.
I agree.
Okay,
I agree.
I'll stop.
It's not our business model. But you know what? It's funny about when you talk about influencers and how Dana said it perfectly. We're in such a good position for that today. I mean, we really are. It's just we could really explode. I mean, when I started with SaladMaster, we advertised on television game shows. You know, they were huge back in the... Actually, they were huge in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. Mm-hmm. I mean, Monty Python, Let's Make a Deal. We were on that. Monty Hall, Let's Make a Deal. We were on that all the time. Something about a bride show. We were on all of the giveaway shows. SaladMaster, but all it cost at that time basically was $50 and a set of our cookware. I mean, it was very inexpensive, but again, like Dana said, we were small, very small budget, but that did have an effect not to the end consumer. What it had an effect to is our distributors, distributor level, our sales field, because they could take a picture of that, of Monty Hall holding up that piece of SaladMaster or Art Linkletter or any of these guys that, you know, influenced our product, and they could take that on shows and say, we're advertised on the Monty Hall show, you know, and that was a big, big show at the time. So that's how the influencing worked back then. But now it's actual people that are not promoting here's a piece of cookware in a picture. They influence it on the use of it and the health aspect. You know, even though we started as a healthy cookware company, I mean, nobody could spell the word cholesterol back in the 50s and 60s. I just learned how to spell it in 1986. It was September, I believe. So it's just one of those things that people are becoming more and more aware of their health and what it means. I thought, and Dana, this is going to maybe surprise you, but I thought the health aspect. Let's eat more vegetables. Let's eat this. Because I thought, you know what? People come on a show to eat real good food. They don't care about. But today they do.
Yep.
So Dana, I'm going to turn it over to you. But we are on the verge. We could spring into something just scary huge.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think, you know, Bruce, earlier you had asked about what did it look like, you know, post-COVID and kind of pre-COVID, you know. So that was kind of our life, I would say pre-COVID almost, but post-COVID, you are right. Everybody has been online, and that is where they're looking at, whether it's influencer marketing, they want to have it at their fingertips. I mean, gosh, Amazon has owned the space, right? You can order something and now you can have it shipped within an hour if you wanted to. You know, they are really, they own that space. So that is the consumer's expectations. But since post-COVID, there is more and more online shopping. There is more and more influencer marketing, but even the influencers themselves, I think, they're probably at a more difficult time than some of the brands because they're trying to figure out, everybody wants to be an influencer now, right? I mean, TikTok is huge. You have this new generation who that's all they want to do is just work from their home. I mean, work from their phone, right? They don't even want to go into offices anymore. Or, you know, it's just during COVID, it changed everyone's mind to figure out how are you living more virtually, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think about some of those movies. It's really insane. I think about some of the movies that are out there. There's one with Bruce Willis, and I cannot remember the name, but it's like they basically just live life through like the touch screen on their computer and it feeds them food. You know, it's just, it's really weird thinking about that dimension in that new world. But I almost feel like it's a little scary because we're starting to get there. We're relying more and more on mobile and people telling us what we need, right? What do we need in our household? It's not really you thinking for yourself. And so those influencers, that's where they happen to come in. I mean, on Facebook right now, you could be scrolling through and all of a sudden you see an ad pop up that you just Googled 5 seconds ago. And you're like, wait, hold on.
This, you know, and another thing that you like, HelloFresh, it'd be interesting if you guys partnered with a HelloFresh or another really national food, you know what I mean, internet food thing, and they could cook it with Salad Master, you know what I mean, and that way, good God, you know, there's your influencer with engagement rates, high pass through, etc. So anyway,
yeah, and we, I mean, we are looking for, yeah, from a brand perspective, we are looking into who are some of those national and even, I mean, we have to think about global too. So who are some of those global relevant influencers or brands that we can partner with? And so influencer, you just hit on something, Bruce, you know, influencer marketing doesn't just go to somebody telling you what you need. It's about those brands partnering together, right? Because if we did partner with like a HelloFresh or, you know, a Blue, I think there's a Blue Apron or something, you know, those companies, we would be helping each other out because we would be going, growing each other's brand awareness versus just having someone tell us what to do. So you're absolutely right. It can go both ways with influencer or partnerships.
Yep.
Well, I think that one of the things, Dana, if it wouldn't, it probably makes sense, is that we do partner a little bit with American Diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a sponsorship or partnership?
Great question. So we do, we sponsor the American Diabetes Association, but we have a partnership with the International Diabetes Federation, which is a brand new partnership for Salad Master, but they hit, I guess they support 75 different countries. And that's the majority of where our countries and our dealers are at, or in some of their countries that they support. But then we also have a partnership with Diabetes UK. So we are looking at some more of those healthy nonprofit organizations that we can really help spread their mission, but also, you know, relates to our core values and our mission and vision at Salad Master.
This is just amazing. I mean, it's absolutely amazing. I got to touch on something else because our show is a coaching show too. And you've got a team that you work with. Mm-hmm. I mean, you, I'm sure Bruce feels, you're blowing me away on all this stuff. And you are the guru in that area. You have learned so much and you've gone to the DSA meetings several times and all that. You've not just sat around and looked at this stuff. You've delved in to learn, and you're a sponge. And you pass this on to your team. How do you, I don't want to use the word manage. I want to use the word coach. How do you coach your team to excel? Because on your team, you've got, you're not to come and went is because they had a baby. But they came back. I'm speaking of Diana, but I mean, you to share with us how you meet with them, how you coach them, because everyone on your team is exciting. And you know, it's kind of like plumbing, I believe, you know, payday's on Friday, you know, and everything starts at the top and rolls downhill. So it starts with you.
Yeah, absolutely. I can say so many things. I think the number one thing, I mean, we all know this, but is trust. I have to instill trust in them. Part of when you're in a smaller organization, sometimes it doesn't look like there's much opportunity to grow, right? And so you have to make sure that they're happy. Wayne, I know since I've come on, you know, I've been able to hire people on, but I've been able to retain everyone too. Nobody has come in and kind of left, you know. So I think it's, you know, trust that I am entrusting them and empowering them to make decisions. I don't micromanage. I know some people do, but I am not big on micromanaging. I like people to figure things out and learn on their own. I will help them along the way and I will guide them and offer them advice, you know, and let them attend conferences or anything. But I really think it comes from self-empowerment and self-learning. You know, a lot of my team members, I can give them a task and we can get them started, but then they take it to the next level. I think they're just self-motivators too. Honestly, I think that's a huge thing in a team is if you have that trust and empowerment, but also those self-motivators, you're going to get them to where they need to go. And so because it is a smaller organization and there isn't much growth, you have to make sure that they're happy, right? You have to make sure that you're not only giving them and fulfilling their work professionally, but that you're, I don't want to say loving on them, but you're giving them the care that they need to know that in their personal life too, you are there for them if they ever need anything, you know, and we just call ourselves a marketing family. I mean, we are truly one big family and I think we have each other's backs, but it comes from empowerment, trust, and it just comes from them wanting, I think, wanting to do better for the company. They believe in the company too, maybe not just my leadership, but they want to do better. And I think that helps. I've been on other teams where I've either had a micromanager as a vice president or director, or I've had team members who everybody just competes with one another. And that doesn't work out very well. If you do not have those team dynamics, it does not help the company and it doesn't help your team by any means when people are just competing. So you just have to figure out how do you make it a group and how does everyone work together and build off one another and really just complement what they're doing. And I think just knowing everybody's responsibilities too. So, you know, there's no crossover. When that crossover happens is when competition comes in the workplace.
Well, you know, if what you're saying there is, it's very important in the actual field of coaching, what you've just said to me. I mean, That's basically, I mean, I know that as a life coach, that's what I try to do. The number one thing you have to do is you have to have that trust. And it's so interesting. I mean, that's how Bruce and I met. And that's why I guess we became friends through all that. And then there's a lot of trust there. So it is so important, that trust and then empowering that person. Even as a team, that's important. Your trust, all the core values that Salamaster has that you helped put in, and we even argued about a couple of them. So, but you're awesome. But that's also true in a one-on-one coaching situation. And I just think that I tell you, we've had a lot of guests on the program, and we've had a lot of fighters, a lot of famous people. But I'm going to tell you what, I've gotten so much out of this call today. Bruce fell off. He's going to have to log back in. But everyone else is here. So. but there Bruce is back. So, your coaching is not just for a team, but I think you can use it. Not you can. I think the same techniques apply in groups and individuals. Yep. It's that because you give assignments to your team, and then they come back to you. And how often do you have meetings with your team?
We have one group meeting once a week, and then I meet with them every other week individually just to go over their goals and if there's any challenges to help support them. You know, one of the things, Wayne, real quick, I will say is it took me a while to figure out what kind of leader I'm not going to say manager, leader, what kind of leader I wanted to be. And it came with years of learning. I mean, instead of coming in and saying, you know, demanding people to do something, you know, I figured out what kind of leader do I want? And do I want helping lead me? And then I will replicate that to my team. So I just in my head thought of what would the perfect leader look like? And that's just what I strive to be. And I think that's all any leader can do is just be the best you can be, but encourage along the way and empower and show trust.
Now, when you have your meetings, are they the level 10 meetings?
Kind of. Yes and no.
Okay, good. I like, well, you know, between you and I love that answer. Kind of. I love that answer. Because... See, that tells me, it goes right back to what you just said about a leader. How do you want to be treated? You know, how you'd like to be treated by a leader that's leadership qualities. And so this is a side joke, but that was such a perfect answer. thing. I love that. I'm going to laugh about that all day because it's so true. Okay, Bruce, have you got some questions? Can you hear us? There he is.
Getting back to your teams, what you try to empower them, you meet with them individually. And you're also a prior nutrition coach, et cetera. What coaching techniques specifically do you use with your team members, or maybe share an example how you utilize coaching principles to help this person either overcome some sort of obstacle or thinking obstacle or whatever?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a really good question. I listen to understand. I used to be very quick to speak and quick tongue when I didn't agree with something. And when you run a team or when you manage a team, you cannot do that. You really have to understand their challenges. You have to understand their pain points, but where do they want to go? Right. So even like once a quarter, I meet with them and I say, where do you see yourself? Even if it's not in the role that they're in, what do they want to be learning? And then I figure out what are some of those things along the way and throughout the year that we can get them growing and learning, even if it is a different career path than where they want to be. So that way they know I'm listening to their needs and I'm understanding where they want to grow personally and professionally. And then I'm trying to give them tools that they can do. So we recommend conferences or recommend them mentorships or books or anything like that. But I think it's really just understanding and listening. That is the best advice I can give, because if you're not understanding their needs, they will not feel like they can, they won't have a want to work for you, I guess, or maybe even the company, because as a leader, you're a representative of the company as well. And so you have to make sure that you are, listening to their passions, listening to their future goals, and then just really respecting that and putting that in place. I don't know if that helped at all, but that's kind of where you have to understand, because if it's you telling them, then they're not going to support you. But if it's them telling you, they will support you and they will listen to you.
Well, you know, it's like Dr. Stephen Covey said in his book, The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. Mm-hmm. Strive first to understand. Seek first to understand, then to be understood. And that's what you do. I mean, Dana, a lot of this stuff, you're just a natural with it. I mean, you are. And I was telling, here, Bruce is back on, but I was saying this the other time when he was off, that we've had a lot of guests on the program, but I'm telling you, I know you personally, but I've gotten more out of this interview than I've gotten out of a lot of interviews. I mean, you really have, you're just so genuine. You're so real. That's what makes you trustworthy too. It's, you just see it. You live it. You know, you live it with your kid, you live it with your husband. I see we're friends on Facebook, so I see what's going on with the family and the boys, and my goodness, that's how you live your life. And that comes through to your people. And when you say you're a family, you're available even if it's off work, if they need something, if it's a personal thing. And that's what family is. There was one time in Salad Master that one of the employees still there, her mother passed away, and she was going to go, and the kids were going, but one of them was just getting into a thing in college, and so she couldn't go, she didn't think. But all of a sudden, after all the tickets were bought, she could. And so the tickets were like, somewhere out there in the outer universe by then. So I just gave some of my miles. And it was just like, oh my gosh, how can you do that? That's what family does. And so when you say family, it does make a big difference.
Yes.
You are just an amazing individual, and appreciate so much all that you're giving us today. So Bruce?
Yeah, I mean, I also like, you differentiate between being a manager and a leader, right? And mm-hmm. I think that sets the tone with people. Actually more of a coach with teeth type of thing. I mean, you are the leader, you're the boss of sorts, but I think you're really trying, like you said, I'm here to help you with your goals. I mean, that's what we do as coaches, right? We're here to help, most of the time in coaching, we're here to help clients overcome negative self-talk and self-limiting beliefs and thinking, right? And so your team is going to have that inherent at a psychological level. I think each person's going to have their own negative self-talk they have about themselves personally or familially. And then there's going to be challenges that present as a result of the company per se, you might say. So I guess I have a question.
Yeah.
And again, I love the product, even though I don't own it. I feel like I own it.
Quit saying that. I'm coming out.
What is your address? Let me ship you some product. No, I'm just kidding.
This guy's tight as bark on a birch tree.
I threatened to go on eBay. I said, "No, are there any eBay people out there selling used?"
I went after gray
market, some gray market salad man. Okay, that's kind of in jest, but what is it about the mission and the vision and the value of the company that really is kind of stuck? I shouldn't say stuck, Wayne. Don't take that. It's just so you got to go through this show. Look, I understand it. Personal service, seeing is believing, cooking is very tactile. I mean, I get it, but is there something I'm missing, or is it just kind of like, you know, they're not there yet with this online thing and it's kind of a tradition. Anyway, so what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. No, that's a great question because I think we get it a lot, right? And I wouldn't say we are stuck in our ways.
I didn't mean to say that.
Maybe say. I would just say we are evolving. That is the way I would like to say that. But no, I think part of we are a higher ticketed item, you know, and so you really have to truly understand how our product works and how, you know, how your food is even cooked in our product and in our cookware, you know, to understand why you would want to pay a certain price point for our product. Right now, we haven't been able to find a great way to show that value of our product online. Now, we could get, you know, celebrity chefs, we could get influencers behind it, you know, and we are looking at some of that, but we have to really teach them. And again, you have to know, and you have to kind of see, feel, touch, taste, you know, you need to use all your five senses. I will say, Bruce, you know, it was pre-COVID, everything had to be in person, right? Like you couldn't even see or feel the product unless you were in person. So during COVID, we were forced to work at our entire Wayne's dogs are going crazy. We had to look at our entire model and say, how do you make it virtual? Or how do you make it to where you can do even a cooking show? And so we had dealers and our marketing team who were quick to adjust things and, you know, teach our cooking coaches how to do it virtually. And so we have gotten there. Now we haven't gotten to a place where yet we can sell online, but it doesn't mean that we're not looking into it, right? It doesn't mean that we're not going to be there in the next year or two. It's just we have not evolved or maybe had even the support or experience within the home office, maybe. You know, we've never truly had what we have today and the people who work here and the experience that everybody has and the leadership. I have to say some of the leadership here, you know, believes in us evolving our company to where we can get more online. And so I think that's just I don't want to say it's been like that because I hate it when people say, you know, it's just the way things have been.
No.
You know, we're always looking to make things better. I just don't think we have evolved there yet.
Well, let's compare. Now, you said you worked with Mary Kay.
Yes.
So Mary Kay, another very personal, you know, you have a Mary Kay rep, you know, there's that structure. I don't want to say anyway, there's a structure with it. Kind of compare and contrast Salad Master. I mean, because you need that educational component, but then again, you guys already have the education component if you're doing the online Zoom shows, right?
Yeah.
So I mean, so compare and contrast that to.
Absolutely. So I was married when I started selling online for the first time, and I will say it was they were one of the first, I think, direct sales companies to start selling online. I think Amway was kind of there and some other ones, but they were one of the first. And I will say at the very beginning, it was not pretty. I don't know if I'm going to get in trouble for saying that, but it was not pretty. I mean, we did have pushback, right? Because in direct sales, it is all about that personal service. So if you feel like you're taking away that face-to-face, there is definitely going to be pushback no matter what company you're in. I think the difference between kind of Salad Master and Mary Kay is Mary Kay, it's very, the products, they use up within 3 months, right? 3 months to a year. So you're always trying to
refill
and buy back. It's a little bit at a lower price point. Now, Mary Kay is higher compared to, you know, what you find at a grocery store or something like that. Their price point's higher, but it is more of, ours is more of a demonstrable kind of, you know, it's a one-time purchase versus coming back for more and having that product that's at a price point to where you can buy it every quarter or every year. So I think that's kind of a little bit of a difference there.
Gotcha.
I don't know if that's a good answer, no, but that's kind of where I see it.
Okay, so I get it because it's direct sales, and then I'm trying to get the pink Cadillac. So that means Bruce Cameron or whatever. Bruce Cameron has to generate X sales to get to the diamond level, whatever. Okay.
Yep.
Let's go back. Let's say I'm a rep, and I am Bruce Cameron, Salad Master, and I'm going to have a YouTube channel of my own shows. Now, can I do that? And then is that frowned upon? What if you had some entrepreneurial rep that was doing their own kind of thing online, driving interest, doing shows, selling?
Well, you know what? Right now in post-COVID world, we actually, pre-COVID, yes, it might have been frowned upon, but we were at the stage where we were really training some of our representatives and our cooking coaches to be more of the faces of Salad Master, right? During COVID, that's the only way they could sell, right, is virtually. We had to give them lessons on how to do a cooking show through Facebook Live, how to present, you know, which recipes they're actually cooking, how to present the product. And so we did a lot of training with our field. I mean, like 2 years worth of training. So we do now have amazing dealers. I mean, we have one in California, Wayne, I'm just thinking of Isis. She is amazing. Her and her people are just, I mean, they are the epitome of healthy eating. You know, they can cook to any kind of, I mean, they're very vegan, vegetarian focused, but if they needed a meat lover, they could cook to them. You know, they are just very health conscious and they print themselves on. So we have gotten there and we do think that our dealers are, you know, the most influencers out of anyone because they love our product. They're already selling it, right? And so they are some of the faces of Salad Master to help get our brand awareness out there.
Bruce, I'll send you a link to one of Isis's, her next shows, her next cooking classes.
Okay.
And you can see her and her team. Just exactly what Dane is talking about. And by the way, I might add, as my old boss, Peter Menke, used to say, she's easy on the eyes.
Oh, okay.
She's very beautiful. Yes, she's very beautiful.
Make sure that's all where it needs to be. Another thing I wanted to ask, how much time we got? We got some 6 minutes. And again, you talk about a direct sales model, but what if there was like, this sounds crazy. Let's say the mothership, you know, corporate folks, y'all had a cooking coach, y'all had a YouTube channel, shows or this and that and the other. And then, but yet whoever saw the show online wants to make the purchase, then the corporate person says, oh, I'm going to direct you to a rep at 76092, you know, in that area code. And then, but maybe the person that's making the sale doesn't quite get the commission or whatever, you know what I mean? Because they found through a corporate channel, but the volume of their sales might go up. If y'all look at a hybrid thing like that.
Yeah, we do have a hybrid thing. So if it was a corporate or if there was, let's say Isis was doing a Facebook Live or she was on YouTube and she's in California. And so somebody here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area wanted to purchase, but we just couldn't connect them, right? Because they're just too far away.
Right.
We would first go to Isis and ask, you know, she would have the same kind of language as her or, you know, me. And we would kind of connect them. So we would bring in that personal touch. We wouldn't just say, here you go, there's a dealer in this one. We would make sure and we would say, hey, we saw you, you know, you loved us. You really resonated with Isis and the way she cooked. Let's get you on a call with her and, you know, Catherine or somebody. And let's really make that connection. So we would make that connection. That's wouldn't just throw them to next person, you know.
I wouldn't think that. Yeah, but you're right. That's a nice touch.
Yes.
Personal. Well, good. Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm, you know, and Wayne's told me, you know, how some of the more third world markets are, I shouldn't say that, second or third world markets are actually kicking butt in terms of sales. And I was just like, wow. You know what I mean? But then again, there's two flavors of folks. There's the folks, it's like the bimodal distribution. You got the folks that can afford this stuff and the folks that can't. But on the folks that do, there is a pretty good market of folks that do, you know what I mean? And they buy, and that's why.
Yeah. I think in our company too, our sales field or our dealers or distributors, as we would say, they're learning from each other. I think COVID really forced us to work better together, even if it is virtually, but they're sharing best practices. They're sharing what works or how they tweaked a program so that the other one can use it. So it is really, I mean, we, as a company, not just the home office, I think as a whole, the company has come to better as a family globally.
That's good.
Because they're just learning from each other. I mean, the Philippines is still on lockdown, bless their hearts. And so they're just trying to grasp at anything that's going to work for them, you know, to sell the product. So they're really having to learn from some of these other countries that have been there. They may be out of lockdown now, but have been there and really struggled, you know. So I think that's what we did great as a company during COVID, is we came together and just shared best practices so everyone could coach, mentor, train one another.
Yep. That's good. Kind of unify the company, take out some of that competitive spirit, me type of thing. So that's good for the morale and the mission and vision of the company. And and we're here to connect people with the unmet need. We're the solution. I got you. You know, I love it.
Yes, sir.
David, it's been awesome.
Yeah.
I can't thank you enough for taking all the time that you've taken. So selflessly, and
anything for you, Wayne.
Well, Cody, you and Cody and I, we're going to go out and have a big old time here, real quick, fast, and in a hurry.
Yes, I will say Wayne has been one of my biggest supporters. I met him, he wasn't quite well. I think he was doing, I don't know what he was doing. When I started working here, he wasn't in the office every day. And so, about 2 years after I started working, is when he started back in the office again. And he really became that. I would say a mentor. Like I could just go to him to, I was struggling. At that time I was struggling with one of my own personal, personal relationships, but then with a personal employee too. And so he helped me see through that, you know, cause sometimes you just get in your own head and you need that person to, you know, support you and give you advice and everything. So I have to credit a lot of how I've been successful to Wayne. I will say.
No, you're too kind. You're too kind. tell Cody we got to go out. That's all I want to say.
I will.
We got to go to dinner.
And how can our viewers and listeners contact you if they wanted to contact you?
Me? Yeah. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. They can email me. My email, my Soundmaster email address is D for Dana, D Thornburg, Thornburg, at saladmaster.com. SaladMaster. So awesome. I'm always up. I love it. I get asked to, I don't get asked a lot, but I mean, Wayne, I just got asked on the DSA to be a part of their education committee so that we can make sure that so that the upcoming conference for this year in June, that it is actually relevant information that we're given to all the attendees. So that'll be exciting. So
congratulations, young lady. Wow.
Awesome. And Wayne, how can folks reach you? What's that magic email?
Until I get that website up, it's going to be wayne_515@yahoo.com.
Awesome. Well, folks, there you have it. Another fantastic show here on the Concierge Coaches Show on LA Talk Radio. Of course, I can be reached at conciergecoach.net. Stop by our social media sites at concierge_coaches on Instagram and Concierge Coaches Show on Facebook. Also, we're on iHeartRadio as well as Apple Podcasts. That's right, folks, the little podcast that could here. Thanks to Sam and everybody at the station. So we'll see everybody here next week for another exciting show on the Concierge Coaches Show. Take care, everybody.
See ya. Thanks, Dana.
Thank you, Bruce. Thank you, Wayne.
See ya.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Wayne Fritz, only on LA Talk Radio.